You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So Matthew 6:25-34, it says, "Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, thank you, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Wow. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. We pray that the Lord will add his blessing to that word this morning. So, we've called this our covenant and motto verse. Have you ever had a motto verse before for the year? You see, I love motto verses. We've had one probably in almost every church I've ever been in. And right at the beginning of the year, we pick a verse. We feel that's something that God wants us to really wrap everything around throughout the year. Come to me first, almost in a sense, through this gate. So this morning, we are saying our motto verse is this: but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The reason I like this is it's kind of going back to basics. Back to school with some of this. I like this. Seek first his kingdom of God. I'd love to have been at school writing stuff like this. Unfortunately, I used to draw silly pictures of my teacher on the blackboard, so when they whizzed it round, made all the kids laugh. But I should have been writing stuff like this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well, given to you as well. So we're going to look at a number of things this morning. On our first slide, it says a wraparound of what our service is going to be. Who said it and when? Why must we seek first? And how can we seek? So who said seek first? And when did he say it? Why must we seek first? And how can we seek? How can we really know? So let's have a quick look then. Who said it and when? I think a lot of you are going to know in here. You're going to shout at me. Who was it? Matthew was writing it. Who actually said it? It was Jesus. It's pretty simple. I know the kids are good at this. It's either Jesus or God. If you put those out, you're normally pretty safe. Jesus said this, and it was part of the Sermon on the Mount. And actually, I love what Scripture does. So seek what God wants to do and do it right. Scripture can be very simple sometimes, in as much as I know Jesus maybe said some things and we need to go, oh, I need to unpick that, I need to really get that. Sometimes Jesus just says it so clearly and I think we make it so complicated. So seek first his kingdom. So I ask God what he wants to do and his righteousness and do it right. Okay, righteousness sounds like an incredibly big word. But actually, you can get rid of the zzzz bit. Do what's right. Seek what God wants to do and do it right. Righteousness, doing or leaving a life that is pleasing to God. Okay? It's fairly simple, this stuff. And I think when Jesus sometimes tells us these things, we can make it really, really complicated. But actually, there it is. So we come, don't we, with questions. Well, that's all very well, Darren, but what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do with my life? These are all questions, aren't they, that I think we ask ourselves to say basic questions. Great, seek God first, seek his kingdom, and do what's right. But I've got to eat, I've got to live, I've got to do something. And actually, what I want to do over these coming weeks, we've got our motto service this week, but over the coming weeks, what I want to be able to do is just actually unpick that a little bit and say, what does it mean to be 100% complete in Christ? And I think I've spoken to a number of people, that idea of being 100% complete, i.e. 100% secure that what God says in his word has an impact on my life, and I can hold on to that no matter what comes along. Okay, so that's where we're going to go over these next few weeks. But what we're going to actually look at this morning is that whole idea of seeking first the kingdom of God. Why is he asking us to do that? Because otherwise you end up, as we were saying in a previous message, you end up saying, well, how am I going to survive? How am I going to survive? And actually, we're made for so much more, weren't we? What does it say on the next slide, Sue? You're not just made to survive, you were made to thrive. You were made to thrive. It's a Casting Crowns song. Dave, you've got this on CD, didn't you, over Christmas? Great CD, isn't it? Some really good stuff in there. And God says to you this morning, don't do all this worrying about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear and all this stuff. You're made for so much more than just surviving. You are made to thrive. So do you remember our Living Well series as we came and did our Living Well, didn't we? Remember that message? The first thing that we actually did as part of Living Well, we broke well down into what? Worship, evangelism, learning, and life. That was what our well was. And our first letter, W, well, we must connect with God first. It starts with worship. And do you remember what we said about that worship? Actually, worship isn't necessarily praise. And I think we might have got the term worship confused with praise a little bit in church. You know, when I worship and I really plug into God and I really connect with God, he actually knocks me down a peg or two. And actually, I generally find myself on my knees if I've genuinely connected with God. I'm in that place where I've just gone, wow, look how holy and how wonderful he is. And my heart has just connected with God's heart. And I'm just in that place of like saying, Lord, you're everything to me. That's worship. And from that place, he comes in and he says, look, you've been honest with me this morning. You've told me your hurts. You've told me your pain. You've told me your fears. And I want to come in. I want to do something about that. Worship. Worship is so much more than standing up with a guitar on Sunday. So let's ask our first question then. Why must we seek first? Why must we seek first? I believe there's quite a simple order here. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek, so we've got to do something, and first. It's quite simple, this stuff, you know, seek first, do this first. What do we got to do first? We've got to seek. And why does Scripture tell us to do that? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure in my DNA, I've got, a bit like with the magnets, you know what I mean? I'm actually naturally aiming away from God. I think the first thing I ever try and do, if I think about something, it's probably with, hey, God, I've got a really good idea. Yeah? We come along with these ideas and we naturally start with our backs to God. So, I've come up with a great idea, or can we fix it? Do we not say that? I think particularly the fellas around us, I think it's kind of wired into our DNA as well. I can fix this. I can do this. I'm a man. I'm supposed to fix this. I can climb up and cut hedges at 90 years old and make everybody have 50 fits. Hubert, I'm talking to you. Yes, I know. Whatever age we are, we think we can fix it. But do you know what? Our society, our history, does it not show that we can't fix it? And unless we actually put God first, we can come up with all sorts of rules, all sorts of harebrained schemes, and it all leads ultimately to death. Our government at the moment has come up with some series of rules. There's things that have been passed in Parliament. And then the church starts wrestling and starts saying, well, how do we make our doctrine and our theology actually line up with what the government is saying? You know, we cannot rule ourselves. And you'll see this, not just historically, look in your Bible as well. The governments that don't put God first will fail. They always do. Go back into Proverbs 14, 12. You can see it there on the screen. This is Solomon speaking. And he says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. This is Solomon speaking with all that wisdom. Jeremiah added something as well in his prayer. And he said, Lord, I know that the people's lives are not their own. It's not for them to direct their steps. You know, we are a broken people. And we need to be told to put God first time and time again. Put God first. Put God first. Why seek him first? The Bible is really clear about this, because if you don't put him first, every other way leads to death. And actually then God makes a promise back to us, because he says if we get the order right, in Philippians 4 verse 19, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if this is going to look right on the screen. There's a big butt there, look, a big butt on the screen. But hang on a minute, Darren. Hang on a minute. It doesn't always work out like that. I've asked God all this stuff and it doesn't always work out that way. You see, God's ways aren't our ways, are they? You might see the need for riches, promotion. You've got some really good ideas about how God could bless you. And actually, God says, do you know what? You might need some poverty at the moment. You might need some loss. You might need some solitude. We don't always understand why these things happen. But do you know what? Again, you look in Scripture, you look back, and you will see you're in good company. You see, God loved who? Both Job and Elijah, didn't he? He allowed Satan to absolutely pound Job under his watchful eye, of course. And he let that evil woman Jezebel, she broke the spirit of the prophet Elijah, didn't he? You can see this in your Bibles too, Job 1 to 2 and in Kings 18 to 19. You see, in both situations, what did God actually do? He followed that with restoration. He gave sustenance, and ultimately all that glory went to him, the Father. You see, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness has got to include what we might see as those negative aspects of the reply. I would say to you, watch out for a prosperity gospel. I think there's a lot of that around at the moment. You know, God might give earthly riches. He might just give earthly riches, but my honest opinion, it's posh dust. It's posh dust. My posh dust might be my bicycle. Yours might be a BMW. It might be a private jet. It might be gold taps. I don't know what it is, but it's posh dust. Let's get some perspective on what we should be seeking first. You know, my testimony was, and I know some of you heard my testimony, I've been given the Christian's grief for a couple of years, and I'm ended up at this evening service where all these Christians have been telling me all this stuff about God and how amazing all this stuff was. And then a visiting preacher came and he started talking about the things you want in life, the house, the wife, the boat, the car, fill in the blank yourselves, I've told you before, for some of you. And then he said, but all that will turn to dust at the end of the day. It will all turn to dust. And for that moment, I suppose God just revealed to me and I went, do you know what? I just get it. Everything around us will turn to dust. It's posh dust. But the one thing that won't is the love of Jesus Christ. The love of God is eternal, absolutely eternal. And for me, seeking first that kingdom, seeking first what he wants that might last forever is so exciting. And my life has always been about that. When we came here to Coventry on a certain journey thinking, this is the tack, and it's great as a sailor. If you've ever been out sailing on a boat, you say, to get there, if the wind's coming from that direction, I guarantee it's always coming from the direction you want to sail in. You've got a tack, you've got to sail like this. And then you turn, and then you sail like this. and I want to get down there. And then you have to tack, and you have to do this. And you think, I want to go over there, Lord, but I've got to tack again. Oh, hello, that's 90 degrees from where I was before. That's what sailing's about. You know, and sometimes in my life, I just find that, goodness me, that's a left turn again, Lord. That's a right turn. But I'm heading in that direction, seeking first his kingdom. What are those things that he wants for us? So how do I know if I'm seeking the kingdom? How do I know? How can I seek it first? Well, here's a couple of questions for you. Where do you, or where do I, put all my energies? If you were to think for a moment, in your week at the moment, where do you put all your energies? And does it answer that question, are you seeking first the kingdom of God, or seeking something else? We've had the offering already, so you know I'm not after your money. Where do I spend all my money and my time? Where do I spend that? And we had a little thing a few evenings ago, spending or investing. Are you investing your time and investing your money, or are you spending it? The challenging questions. I don't know what the answers are. You know what they are. But I like this one. Someone asked this of me a little while back. Go on, pop the question up. If I was to stand before a judge, would there be enough evidence to convict me of being a Christian? We've got a judge in the room, haven't we? Would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Well, it's all circumstantial, sir. You know, it's just those things that happen. Could there really be enough evidence? Am I seeking first? You see, actually, the Bible again, and Jeff would always say this to you, the answer's in the Bible. Jesus gave us teaching on how to seek, didn't he? Wasn't the first thing he actually said at the very start of his ministry, we looked at it in Matthew before, but it's also written in Mark, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This is how we start seeking the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. It's really not complicated to understand again. I think some of this teaching that Jesus gives us, we can make very complicated, but it's very simple. I've been doing some study this week, and I've been looking at ways to get across a river. And maybe to get across a river, if you want to get across dry, you can go through some stepping stones. Stepping stones help you get across. Who's been on stepping stones? Very good. Lots of fun. Don't step on the slippery ones down in Devon Rocks, though. So simple stepping stones. He's given us two there. I'll put them in bold. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Our first two stepping stones. Why? The reason we must repent, because all have sinned, it says, and fallen short of the glory of God. That's in Romans there, and it carries on in Romans 6. You can remember 3:23 and 6:23 because they follow each other. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Repent. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift, and I like it because we've got another but in there, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, when we repent, I believe we turn our backs on our ways and we turn towards God's way of thinking. I think this microphone is really buzzing, isn't it? We'll press on for a minute. You see, if we turn away from our ways, we turn to God's ways, what I believe is we actually then start seeking first his kingdom. We put God first, and we look at his way of thinking. Okay, Darren, give us an example. Let's take the rich young man. In Matthew 19, 16 to 17, we read, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus replies, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. And what are those commandments? Remember when we did our Living Well series? Keeping God's commandments. Remember we said that there was that well, and the source of the well was love, and the thing we draw from the well is love. And in Matthew 22, it tells us what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang off these commandments. You see, I believe when we repent and when we truly believe, there is the next stepping stone. And that's baptism. This is a Baptist church. I'm sure some of you can tell me when the baptistry was last opened. Go on. A long time ago. You know, another stepping stone in that obedience is baptism. Peter replied to those whose hearts were burdened with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that day in Pentecost? And they're just saying, what can we do about this? Christ Jesus had been crucified. These guys are there just going, what have we done? And the Holy Spirit has come in and he's convicted. And they said, what can we do? And it's there in your Bibles too. In Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a challenge. I bet you didn't expect this morning. But if you've never been baptized, we're aiming for a baptism service towards the end of February, potentially here. And I would challenge you, if you've never been baptized, that's my challenge, why don't you consider that? I'm really happy to run through some general baptism classes with you and explain why. Because actually, we go back to that verse, Sue. It's fairly simple again because, use the backward arrow that should take us back. Repent and be baptized. Can you read the next few words for me? Okay. So who does that exclude? No one. Repent and believe and be baptized, every one of you. I don't know why, and it's really interesting. I've been reading in a book this week, and it's saying stats show that for the majority of Christians, the wheels fall off the wagon when it gets to baptism. And they get so far, and sometimes actually they go, oh, you know, the devil's having a real go at me at the moment. And actually sometimes I think the Holy Spirit can be convicting us. When the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts, I think that can sometimes be a bit more painful than when the devil wants to come and have a go at us. We can sometimes see his wily tricks. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts, oh, that really hits the nail on the head, doesn't it? Really hits the nail on the head. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. So I would challenge you, if you have never considered baptism before, you've never been baptized, let's just run through some study and say, well why? Let's dig open the scriptures and open up the scriptures and say, why should I do that? And that's not, and I'm not picking on anybody at all, and I'm not picking on any faith, but actually they didn't just throw water over them when they baptized them. That was full immersion baptism, which is why we've got this big thing here where you get wet, like proper wet. I saw a fantastic baptism this week, actually, on the computer. And this guy, not only did he get baptized, he came up like a rocket ship. And as he came up, he took the guy that was baptizing with him, and they all went back under the water again, and then they all came up again. He wanted a double portion, this guy, I tell you. But hey, look, if February you think, well, that's a bit close, Darren. We've got our 60th anniversary service here in April. Wouldn't that be awesome if there's anybody here that would actually like to get baptized, and let's do that on our 60th anniversary day. I think that's a real challenge for some of us here. So if you'd like to do that, I don't need a show of hands or anything, but if the Spirit is knocking on your door this morning, let's look at that and dig into it. So our challenge this year, our challenge is this. As we seek God, let's not have that I tried it before mentality, okay? Because we might come up with some ideas, we might feel that God is saying some stuff to us, and then we go, we've tried it all before. Done it all before and it never worked, okay? Now, my challenge is this, because I was up a ladder yesterday. The amount of people that worried about me being up a ladder. Look, up here. Seek first his, go and read it. Fantastic. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first. You see, I think churches can be really in danger of saying, we've just seen this church down in Eastbourne and they're doing this. And it's amazing. With the kids, it's this, and they do, and you should see the work that's doing it. And then you say, yeah, well, there's another church over in Worthing or London or Scotland, where it, and they're doing it too. This must be what God's doing. Let's do it. And then we do it. And what happens? it fails. It doesn't have the same impact. Now, the thing is, if we're seeking God first, and he told us to do the same as these other churches, I'm pretty sure God is going to show up and make that happen, do you? But actually, on the outward appearance, we go, well, this is the latest thing. They've even written a book on it. We must do it. It's in print. But unless we seek first the kingdom of God and seek what he wants for this place here, we can do all the latest things that are going on. We can even go back to that tried it before mentality. Oh, yes, well, we've tried that one before. Well, was God actually asking you to do it then? Because he might be asking us to do exactly the same thing now, but he wants us to do it now for a reason. You see, that's the challenge to us as we start this year. I don't know if you know, but this building is in an amazing location. You've got some amazing space. There are people around in Coventry looking at Tile Hill and saying, if I only had a space like this that we could do some stuff in. And we've got it. God has given this to us. And we've got to seek him first to find out what he wants to do. And when we do that, what does he say? Everything else will be added. Everything else. What are you chasing after this morning? Because actually, those things that we chase after, as I said at the beginning, it may just be that when you're seeking the riches, you're going to find what you start worrying about. And God says, don't worry about that. I've got all that in hand. He knows. He actually knows what you need. He's pretty good at that. So seek him first. In all that we do this year, as we enter into everything that we do, and we're going to make some good decisions this year. We want to do some exciting things with the building. We want to do some exciting things with the community. Speaking with the school around the corner, they're saying that there actually isn't really even a community here. It's not like we've got to unpick a community. There isn't really even a community here. They watch their Jeremy Kyle TV. They go on Facebook. When they come to the school gates, they shout at each other. It's not really a community. So we've got a really exciting prospect here to say, God, what is it that you want to do and how are we going to do it? And when we do that, everything else, he says, will be added. What an amazing, wonderful God we've got. So whenever you come in, just read that one out. Let that be that challenge at the beginning maybe of every meeting that we have, at the beginning of every prayer meeting. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.